Welcome to the Fearless Warrior Podcast, a place for athletes, coaches, and parents who know the value of a strong mindset. I'm your host, Coach AB, a mental performance coach on a mission, former softball coach, wife, and mom of three. Each episode, we will dive deep into all things mental performance, mindset tools, and how to rewire the brain for success. So if your goal is to gain the mental edge and learn the secrets of mental performance, you're in the right place. Let's tune in to today's episode. Gladden Frasso is a dynamic and sought-after mental toughness coach and keynote speaker, renowned for her inspiring journey of resilience, confidence, and overcoming adversity. With a background as an athlete, corporate professional, and entrepreneur, Gladden brings a unique blend of personal experiences and insights to captivate and motivate diverse audiences. Her keynote will transform audiences' perceptions of challenges. Instead of seeing adversity as the end of the road, they will see it as a bend in the road. Love that so much. She inspires others to become unstoppable champions in their own lives. When she's not wearing her coach hat, she wears many other hats as a wife, mother, small business owner, and corporate professional. I am so glad I have her here live with me today. Coach G, welcome to the pod.
Hey, Coach AV, thank you so much for the invite.
I'm so pumped. You and I have had conversations in the past, and even just now, before hitting record, we're like, whoa, we got to stop this and hit record.
So, Right, yeah.
Tell the Fearless fam a little bit about you. I know we have the beautiful bio.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit more. Who are you? What do you do?
A little bit more about me. As you said, I'm a keynote speaker. I am a mental toughness coach, and I work in the corporate world as an environmental health and safety engineer. I am a mom to two beautiful kids and a wife to an extremely handsome guy. The gist of it is that who I am, everyone knows me as someone who is a motivator. Like, don't come to G with your problems, because she's going to help you solve them, or at least give you about 10 to 5 action items you can walk away with. So friends know me. Don't come to me with a pity party or whatnot. I'm just going to help you. I'm going to motivate you. Also a former athlete, as you mentioned, and I'm not sure if we'll get to it, but taught myself how to play the game of basketball in 8th grade and ended up being an all-time leading scorer at my high school just by dedicating my time and energy towards the craft. So that's basically a gist of it. So it depends on the questions that you ask. We could go down a certain road, but that is just me. I love everything mindset. You know, again, if you have a conversation with me, it's going to go straight back to mindset. So, yeah.
It affects everything. And I know your story. So let's kind of dive in. Yeah. One of the things that I didn't know, which is kind of a surprise to me, of course, I know that you're big into the basketball community, but gee, I had no idea you didn't start playing until 8th grade.
Yeah. I did not start playing till 8th grade. So my family and I, we lived in New York, 7 years in Brooklyn and 7 years in Queens. And then we moved to Leesport, Pennsylvania, and shout out to Leesport. A small town where I was the only African-American student at my school. And so when you go to a new school, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, when you go to a new school, the first thing you want is what? You want friends, right? You don't want to be the outcast. So my main thing was like, I need some friends. How am I going to make some friends here? So I'm looking at all the girls. I'm like, we ain't got nothing in common. And I was like, you know what? We have something in common. I was a huge fan of the Backstreet Boys. And I'm like, I know somebody here loved the Backstreet Boys. So that was my way of getting in. But the opportunity to speak about Backstreet Boys never came in. And I remember I was at my locker, and by the end of the day, you could tell who the popular girls were. And I saw them coming towards me. I'm like, oh no, don't mess this up. So they came over to me and they said, hey, do you play basketball? And at that moment, I had a split second decision to, so I lied. I'm like, yeah, I played basketball. You see how tall I am? Of course I played basketball. I've never played organized basketball ever in my life. I've watched it with my dad and my brother, but never played basketball. And they was like, awesome, you should be on a basketball team. Tryouts are in November, so which was a couple of months. And then I was like, yes, I'm in. So ever since then, you know, I had those group of girls, part of the popular group. And then basketball season came around. I had to show off my skills, right? And I always laugh at this story, no matter how many times I tell it, but I was horrible. Horrible to the point where I was shooting at the wrong basket. The game of basketball requires you to dribble in order for you to get to point A to point B to point C. I held the ball like a football, and I was running up and down the court. And the girls was like, that's not how you play. So, but I stuck with it, right? I showed up to every single practice, and every single practice I got better. And so what I did is, okay, in order for me to get better, I need to learn the game. So research on the internet, how to do a crossover. I literally remember Googling how to do a crossover, printing out Allen Iverson's, step-by-step crossover. I started to tape games. Back then it was VHS, taping games and replaying and watching over again. My top three players that I like to watch was Iverson, Kobe Bryant, and Vince Carter, and Kevin Garnett a little bit. So watched it. And then each day I'll come back to practice just a little bit better, a little bit better. And by the end of that eighth grade season, I scored my career high, a whopping 6 points. It was amazing. The feeling that I had of putting the ball through the hoop, knowing that I practiced it or I watched it, and actually, performing that task out there on the court was great. And so that summer between my eighth and ninth grade, only thing I asked my parents for was a basketball hoop outside the house. It took them a while to get it. So I had a basketball hoop, like a park near my house. About a 10-minute walk wasn't that bad. I know I had to cross a major street getting there, but I would go there every day with a basketball, write down what I was working on. 10 shots this side, 10 shots that side, dribbling. My plan every day was very detailed. It wasn't me showing up to the basketball court saying, huh, what am I going to do today? I wasn't practicing half court shots or, dummy shots. It was a legit plan. I did that every single day. I said no to going to the mall and on those trips, said no to the parties over the weekend. I'm like, I love this. And at that point, I was internally motivated. I wasn't motivated about anything else. It was that fun, the excitement that I got while playing. And so that next year, my ninth grade year, not only did I make the varsity basketball team, but I was a starter on the varsity basketball team. And that just, it was all dedicated. It just showed how much I was dedicated over the summer, just one summer. And I ended up graduating as an all-time leading scorer with 1,796 points. And so I love telling that story because it shows that if you want to accomplish something, it's going to take time. You got to really be committed. You can't be interested. When someone's interested in something, they only work on it when it's convenient, when they feel like it. But when you're committed, it doesn't matter how you feel. You're gonna find a way to do it. And that's exactly what I did. And now I can look back now, telling my daughter or my son, hey, mommy name is in the stands right there. If we ever get to visit, that Berks County Championship, mommy was a part of that team and a big reason why we won that championship. So that's that story about my high school basketball career.
And I love this story so much because this is the first time that I've heard this story, but I only knew the all-time scorer and I knew those stories, but you telling behind the scenes begs so many questions on what exactly I want to talk to you today, because not only are you a mental toughness coach, you're a mental performance coach, you're preaching these things, but none of that would have been possible had it not been for the physical. It's the physical and the mental.
The physical and the mental.
Now that you've discovered mental skills, what mental skills are, if you could go back to that eighth and ninth grade, G that's hooping it up, were you using mental skills and not even realizing it?
Yes, exactly. And I tell that story a lot. I was using mental skills. I was visualizing. I don't know what I was visualizing all the time, especially before a game. This is how I want to play. This is how I want to feel. And if I don't have a good game, how am I going to respond? Because there were times where I would just get so upset, not to the point where I'm kicking the ball or anything, but I'll get so upset. But then I started visualizing, okay, gee, sometimes you get really upset and you can't get yourself out of that funk. How would you like to feel? And then I'll just visualize myself responding to like a missed shot or a triple team that really got me. Like I would hate, no, I wouldn't say hate. I love getting double team because I always beat the double team, right? I'm not being cocky here, but I always beat the double team. And I would get upset when I couldn't defeat a double team. I'm like, come on. And so I would visualize myself responding to a double team. And so and when I would get double teamed and it didn't and it worked for them, my go-to was to smile and laugh, like, okay, they got me, but they're not gonna get me again. Right. And that was key, was to smile and laugh and go play defense. But then by the time when they would double team me the first time, I saw where the double team was coming. All you had to do was double team me the first time. So I know where the double team was going, and I would know how to split it, or I would know how to pass out of it and reposition myself to get the ball again. So yeah, the visualization was one of the big things that I was doing that I didn't know was a mental skill.
Well, same here. I think if you key into the skills that we teach today, I think if we could go back and what would have been possible had we know what we know now, right? I giggle. I just giggle. This is a really cool question that I don't know the answer to. When did you discover mental performance? And I know you and I's worlds have crossed because of Brian Kane. Tell us that journey and that story.
So I discovered mental performance after I graduated college. So I graduated college. I was working. Finally, I went into straight into corporate America, first big girl job, making the money, whatever. And being that I lived in such a small town, everyone knew who I was. So I was holding skills and development training at a park, the same park I would go to when I was younger. And I only charged $10 because I really didn't need the money, but I was just charging, just $10. And as I was training my athletes, I would get similar emails or texts from the parents, which were around, "Hey, I'm not sure what you're doing with my daughter or my son, but her confidence level just shot up." And so when I got like the third text like that, I'm like, "I'm not really doing anything different." But then I sat and had to realize, okay, what am I doing with these kids? And I realized that most of my sessions was it was talking more than actually doing the physical part. And when they would come to me and talk about confidence, I would say, "This is what confidence is. This is how you build your confidence back up. If you miss a shot, that is fine. Tell yourself you get it right back." And so it was teaching the self-talk. It was teaching a lot about confidence. And I'm like, "Oh, that's what I've been teaching them. It's a mindset thing." So then I remember at one day at work, during my lunch break, I usually went out to like a chat my favorite Chinese spot, but I stayed in during my lunch break once, and then I was Googling mindset training or mental training or teaching the mind. I didn't even know what words I was putting. I was just trying to put words together that talked about
Right.
mindset. And then I saw all, quite a few certifications pop up. Took one, wasn't really what I really wanted. But then I think after some time, I found Brian Kane. I'm like, "Oh, this is it. I love this." And my coaching practice or coaching career didn't really lift off until after Brian Kane, because he puts it such in a simple way for us, and the way he invests in us, how he taught us, right? And I'm like, and after that, that's when my coaching career really took off after taking Brian Kane's NPM certification.
I
So
love that
shout
story.
out to Brian. I think I just
Shout
plugged
out
Brian
to
in,
him.
right?
Yeah. He brings the juice, as he calls
Yes,
it.
yes.
So this is, oh my gosh, I could take this conversation in so many different directions, but talking about using mental skills, discovering mental skills, how are you using them today? Because I know that you've got I Am Mentally Tough and how you work with athletes. We're gonna stay till the end, make sure you guys can follow G and everything that you post, but how are you currently working with your athletes on the mental side?
Okay. And so again, I'm gonna plug in Brian Kane one more time. He did have an intense like 12-week one-on-one, not one-on-one, group coaching. And so I wanted to do something similar. Brian Kane has a 10 pillars. I didn't want 10 pillars. I wanted to do something around basketball. And so as you know, the starting five, it's called a starting five. The first people that start in the game is starting five. So I created a starting five of mental toughness, and it's resilience, goal setting, confidence, relaxation, and leadership. And I think I encompass all of those. So when I meet one-on-one with my clients, it's basically, "All right, tell me where you are. Let's talk about where you are. What's going on? Just talk. I just want you to talk." And then, "All right, tell me where you want to go. What are your goals?" And then from there, we customize their plan. And so my favorite pillar, I would say, is goal setting. But my second favorite, which is right under it, is resilience, about how are you bouncing back from adversity? Because it's not if we're going to face adversity, it's just a matter of when. Everyone's going to face adversity, whether it's small, whether it's big, we're going to face adversity. So how are you going to bounce back from that? What is your mindset going into it? What is your mindset going through that process? And what is your mindset after? So goal setting and resilience are my top two.
So good. And you keyed on it, and I have this written down, adversity. We have to talk about your story about adversity. Let's kind of switch, right? So tell us that
So
story.
yes, so there's actually two different stories. Which one you want to know? In college basketball or corporate America? I could do both.
I
They're
love it.
huge.
You
All
choose.
right. All right, I'll talk about college basketball, and if we have time, we'll talk about corporate. College basketball, highly recruited, many D1 schools, I think about two to three D2. At the time, I was in a very committed relationship with my boyfriend, and I wanted to stay home. I'm a mama's girl as well. I adore my mom, so I wanted to stay home. So I went to Millersville University, which was about 45 minutes from my home. And for those listening, talking about, oh, she chose a boyfriend over, listen, he's my husband now, okay? So so I went to Millersville University, and graduating as an all-time leading scorer. I'm at a high. I love the school. I see where I could fit in. And then one of our open gyms before the season actually started, my coach said something to me, and I don't really know exactly what she said. It was how she said it. It was very demeaning to me, very demeaning, with a finger in my face, and I didn't like that at all. And so I shut down, completely shut down, confidence out the window, right? We talked about confidence being the physical part and then the mental part. I think this story talks about the mental part. Confidence out the window. And my whole freshman year, I just quote unquote forgot how to play the game of basketball. I worried too much about my next move. I worried too much about what the coach is going to say. I was just thinking too much. And so my entire freshman year, I did not play. I did not play. I sat the bench. I was a bench warmer. And I remember talking to my mom, I'm going to transfer out. I don't want to be here. She doesn't know what real talent is. All sorts of cuss words that I can't say right now, but she doesn't know what a good player is. And so, as you can see, I'm starting to blame. I'm starting to not take ownership of what I was not doing correctly. And I showed up to college ball unprepared. I didn't know there was a drastic difference. It's much more intense, right? Everybody's as good as you. And so for me, and like what I like to preach, when you go to the next level, everybody's as good as you. It's your mindset that's going to separate you. And so I remember one day I was in my dorm room. I was, just looking at books or just organizing. And there was a book I picked up. It was a scrapbook that one of the parents from my high school teammate, she made for the three seniors. So I graduated with two other seniors. And so she made a scrapbook. And the scrapbook, she was one of those moms who clipped every article, clipping of you. And so I opened it up, and it was a scrapbook of my career. And I think it was mostly just my senior year. And I'm opening it up, and you see Gladden dominates once again. Another article clipping. Nobody could stop St. Julian. Another article, St. Julian drops 33. Another article, she came in and dominated, and the keyword was dominate. Other keywords were strong, and seeing all the points that I scored, and at that point, I realized, like, I am good. I had to remind myself who I was, and that's that confidence resume. You have to remind yourself of the accomplishments you have made in the past. And so I'm looking at this, just I'm like, oh my, I did that? Like, whoa, like, you know what I mean? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, I remember that game. I remember that game. I remember I made a girl cry that game. You know what I mean? So it's just, I'm like, all right, next, I'm coming in with a new attitude, because I'm not gonna let a coach tell me that I can't play. I'm not gonna let a coach grab my confidence away. Confidence is completely all on you. It is your job to build it. It is your job to maintain it. You do not let anybody take your confidence away, no matter what they say to you. And that was my mindset going in. That's my job. If she says something, that's all on her. I can't take it a certain way. I know who I am. So that's where that self-talk really came in for me. And so whenever she'll say something that, I didn't like or trying to demean me, I remind myself, I am Gladden St. Julian. And that Gladden St. Julian at that time, just purposely, I tied it right there and then to my basketball career. Like, I am Gladden. It doesn't matter what she says. So what's that self-talk before practice? Look, she's gonna say some things to you. Shake it off. Don't worry about it. Don't take it personal. She says it to everybody. And that's the thing I didn't realize. I was really focusing more on me. She was cussing everybody out, right? But I was just really focusing on me. I'm like, she does it to everybody. That's fine. So just come back stronger. If you mess up and she asks you to sprint, you better be the fastest one on that court, up and back. Right. So I was taking personal accountability for the things that I wasn't doing my freshman year. And next year, some games I started off the bench and then began starting, and then junior year starting, senior year captain starting. And again, another 1,000-point scorer, 11th all time. So at that time, graduating 11th all time. So it was that self-talk. I was really putting myself down more than anybody else that year. Yeah, the coaches, that's their job. They're trying to bring that out of you, right? Not knowing that may not be the best way to do it, but that's their job. And so you really have to take responsibility of your confidence and how you show up each and every day. What can you control? You cannot control her mouth. You cannot control your teammates' frustration, but you can control how you respond to every single one of those. And that is what I took personally that year.
Boom, mic drop, on mic drop, on mic drop, on mic drop.
Yeah,
So
so
good. Gee, I love it so much. So we do have a little bit of time if you have time. I know we blocked out for the interview.
Yep.
I think there are so many nuggets that we could take away from your story on the athletic court, which I haven't said this yet, but I worked with the school district this year. I am also learning basketball. So I learned this year what a screen was. My Milford basketball girls, if you're listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Screen. Hopefully you don't get caught in one of them. Teach the game, but please don't try to participate because you might get screened really hard.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's
I like my
awesome.
pitcher's circle. I like my bubble.
Right.
So let's
Awesome.
kind of transition the conversation because, you've talked about this in your keynotes of turning adversity into an opportunity. And, obviously that changed the trajectory of your college career. How has that impacted your professional career?
Wow. So another thing, or adversity that I'd face was corporate America. After graduating, I secured my first big girl job, and I did not perform well. But of course, that first year, I'm like, this boss doesn't know anything. Whoa, why is he yelling at me? And the only thing that really woke me up was me getting fired. I'm like, whoa, my parents did not raise me this way. I did not work so hard to get here. Not only in sports, but academics, right? And I need to get A's and B's to graduate for me. I'm like, I didn't work this hard to get fired by a company. Getting fired means you weren't doing your job. Getting fired means you weren't doing enough. Getting fired means you were not the person that the organization wanted you to be. And they set out certain standards for you and you weren't meeting that. And so, again, another eye-opening moment. And it was, I had to stop with the BCD and stopping with the blaming, complaining, and deflecting like it was everyone else's fault. No, it was my fault. So at that time, the boss who fired me, this was about like 20, 15, 20 years ago, I reached out to her probably a month or two after I got my, self together. And I said, hey, can you do a SWOT analysis on me? And for those who don't know what a SWOT analysis is, you taking a look at your strengths, your weaknesses. Sorry. Yeah, your strengths, weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. And she gave me all of that. And then she looked at my strengths. One of the strengths that I didn't even know about is when you walk into a room, you literally capture everyone's attention. I guess just by, I don't know what it was, my height, my smile, my demeanor, you capture everyone's attention. So you need to own that. I was like, all right, got it. And then, but my weaknesses, she listed a lot. One of them was, not speaking up, because the role that I had, I was in that position where I had to speak up. I had to make judgment calls. I had to lead others who were in senior positions than I, right? And so I was like, oh, this is golden. This was like my map on how to become a better engineer at that time. So I invested in books. I invested in leadership courses. I invested in conferences, how to be a better leader, how to advocate for myself, how to be more assertive, all of that. And that really helped my career. It helped me as a person too. Sometimes when I'm talking to others or I'm going about my day-to-day business, I'm like, I can't believe this is me from 20 years ago. Like, this is different. But one thing that I found in corporate America is that if I don't have a why, because I asked myself, I'm like, why was I so driven in sports? And I will do whatever, but I'm not doing it right here. And it's because I had no why. I really had nothing to work for. And so I had to find out my why. What is it that I wanted? And so I made a list of the things that I wanted. I wanted to be in a senior role. I wanted to travel. I love water. I love the Caribbean. I just put it out there. I want to work in the Caribbean, right? And then another thing that I wrote down, I'm like, I miss my high school boyfriend. I miss him because we broke up about this time. I'm like, I want my man back, basically. So I just wrote everything that I wanted, and I worked towards everything. And what, 15, 20 minutes, I mean, 15 years later, I ended up being a regional manager and working in the Caribbean, like I said, visiting sites like Aruba, St. Thomas, Bahamas, all those beautiful sites. And I did end up marrying my high school sweetheart. So it's about visualizing, manifesting everything that I wanted, and not just thinking about it and manifesting it and visualizing. I had to put the work behind it again. So that same type of energy, the work ethic that I put in when I was younger, making the high school team, the same type of energy and work ethic that I placed behind in building my career and building where I am right now. And I'm in a really, really great position. I know a lot of people know that I have the coaching business and still work in a corporate job. And I've always getting asked, are you ever going to leave? For what? No, I love my job. I love getting challenged. Again, like I said, I'm in a room where others look nothing like me. I used to shy away from that. I used to hate it, but I love it because I get to learn about other people. I learn how to lead people who have different thoughts to me or different type of backgrounds to me. Oh, I love it. It's a challenge for me. And I gravitate towards challenge. I don't move away from challenge. And that's what helps me grow going toward. When I feel something is challenging, I don't back down. I look at it, I plan, all right, how am I going to maneuver this? How am I going to get the best result possible? And I go for it. And if things don't work out, I assess, all right, this didn't work, this worked. All right, let's go again. So yeah, so that's the story behind my corporate career, and I'm still here. I don't see me going anywhere. Again, I just love the challenge. I love the people that I work with, the relationships that I built. It's amazing.
And I know you're really humble, but before we hit record, you're managing a team of over 150. Is that right?
150, yeah.
Yeah. And so this is an incredible opportunity to use both sides of your life. And I
Absolutely.
think it's a beautiful kind of
Absolutely.
flow of these skills. And you're not just teaching them, you're not just coaching
Yeah.
them, you're using them, which is so beautiful and so awesome.
Yeah. And, being a captain on my high school team and a captain on my college team, we never were on the same page. Well, I wouldn't say never. There were times where, we weren't on the same page and I had to bring our team in. And I feel sometimes I do the same thing here. All right, we're all going to have different opinions, but how can we get the best solution? We all have one goal. So what can we do to play our part to accomplish that one goal? We have different type of team players. You're playing a different position. You're playing a different position. You probably don't get much playing time. Okay, but how can we accomplish that one goal? And that's the thing that I love. I love bringing my team together. I absolutely love that part.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if you could rewind, to your, corporate G when you started and to the Gladden now, what would you go back? And this is kind of one of our podcast questions that we ask everybody, but I think
Yeah.
the question that I have for you is that you felt like when you realized one of your weaknesses was staying quiet, was that because that you weren't being true to yourself in your first job?
I think the reason why I was being quiet, and I think we said that before we started recording, was I was in a room where people didn't look like me and they may not have valued my opinion, and I'm just going to be straight up. I was the only African American, the only woman in the room, and probably the youngest by like 20 plus years. So I was
Yeah.
in an uncomfortable position. I'm like, these people don't want to hear what I have to say. I mean, and look at their position. I'm in this position. Like, they don't want to hear anything that I have to say. But I had to realize those were the limiting beliefs I was telling myself, these stories that are not true. And you could ask anybody in the room, do you care what Gladden say? Absolutely. But I was telling those stories that were false. And I had to really believe in myself. You're here for a reason. They didn't pick you out of a hat. You're here for a reason, right? And so it was just about realizing that. And now I'm very vocal, very respectful to my team. Make sure that I hear their views and they hear my views. But I'm very, very vocal, and just I love interacting with my team. Very different than the Gladden from 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think I can think of a lot of my clients who, if you're listening, you know exactly who you are. But, if you're a freshman and you're asking yourself, well, who am I to lead? And you're running that starting spot on varsity and you feel like coaches are giving you feedback of, well, be louder, command the
Yeah.
field and do those things. Like, what if? What if you did? Without
Right.
changing who you are, but like, what if you did?
Right. Just go ahead. And if it doesn't work out, then so it doesn't and then it doesn't work out. Right. But you will never know if you don't attempt. Just I love Nike. Everyone knows that I love Nike. And I have Nike just like all right now. And if I wasn't doing this podcast, I'll have my Nike hat on right now. But I gotta represent I'm Mentally Tough. But Nike's slogan, just do it. It's very simple. Just do it. And whenever I'm in a position where I'm fearful and I feel like it doesn't matter how mentally tough you are, you're going to experience some doubt. You're going to experience some fear. And there's a misconception about being I am mentally tough. It was like, oh, I don't have fear. I don't have any. No, you do. A mentally tough person realize that they have it, but they don't let that determine how they their next move. They use it as fuel, or they identify, they see it, they accept it. But okay, I'm not gonna let you bring me down. I see you're there, but I'm gonna be courageous and just, and just go for it. So I do have those doubts sometimes, of course, but it's that self-talk, right? Reminding myself who I am, reminding myself what I'm capable of, and just trying. And if it doesn't work out, what's the worst that could happen if it doesn't work out? Okay, my idea got shot down. It's fine. Okay,
Or
we
you're
move
right back
on.
where you started.
Right back where I started, move on.
Yeah.
And just use that as feedback. Whenever I get a no, it's like, okay, and not to be annoying, it's okay, why? Can you tell me what played in that position? Like, what happened? Like, why are you saying no? Or what can I do better? I always ask, what can I do better? I always ask that. So, but yeah, for me, it's all about mindset. And I'm very excited of where my future takes me. Again, I always have that open mind and, having that growth mindset. So, yeah.
So good. And so I'll hand you the mic and ask you our final question. If you could go back and give your past self one message, what would you say?
The day you stop thinking about what people think about you is the day you start living. I was crippled a lot by what people thought about me, all the way from how I talk, my accent, about what I wore. Like I said, I lived in New York for 14 years, and then moving to Leesport, Pennsylvania, where it's an all-white school, is kind of like an identity crisis. Like who, got made fun of for being who I was, and my accent. So I don't think I ever told anybody else except my therapist. Like the voice you hear now is like I trained myself to talk this way because of how I was in middle school. Like my accent was just so strong, and they couldn't really understand my New York accent. So I'm like, all right, I'm an eighth grader. I'm like, all right, I have to change the way I talk, and this is the voice you have now. But yeah, the day you stop thinking about what people worry about you is the day you start living. Because if you continue to worry about them, you're worried about this person, that person, you're like in a mental jail. You're trying to please so many people, and it's not going to work out because you cannot find your true self. You cannot be your true self. And I'm so glad that I learned that at an early age. Like, this is me, and this is what you get. Right?
And
So.
she's awesome.
Thank
That's
you.
who she is. She's awesome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Coach AB. Same to you.
This has been so fun. I knew, like, just so you guys know, sometimes I prepare questions and I told G from the start, I was like, I don't need to prep questions. We'll have an amazing conversation. It did
Yes.
not disappoint. So many good takeaways. Where can the Fearless Fam follow you, find you? Where are you most active on socials?
Okay. And first of all, shout out to the Fearless Fam. Been following Coach AB for quite some time, and she is killing it with a capital K. You are killing it. So congratulations to you, Coach AB. I just absolutely love your content. Taking a social media break now, but I'm sure you're still putting stuff out there, the way you coach your athletes, the many videos. And I would say any athlete who come through your program, they are truly blessed, because you could tell you do it straight from the heart. You're not doing it for solely the money or solely just to be an Instagram influencer or whatever. You do that straight from the heart. So any person that comes through your program, they are getting a truly amazing coach. So I just wanted to shout you out first. Yes.
G. Oh.
Sorry, I mean you're killing it, and I love it. You could find me on Instagram. I am mentally tough. On Facebook is I am mentally tough as well. And my website is www.iammentallytough.com. Yeah.
Love it. You got me choked up. You got me choked up. This has been so
I'm
fun.
sorry about
I
that.
love what I do. I love connecting with other people who are making
Yeah.
just as incredible of an impact. So
Yeah,
thank you.
absolutely. Love connecting with you all as well. And I know I met with another coach who I told him my story, and he was like, your beginning story helped you with your second story, then helped you with the third story. Like the tools that you've learned and built, helped you with your stories that's that came after. And one story that I don't think I'll be able to share just yet, but when I had my son, who was born May 17th, right? And a few hours later, my best friend, my everything, my mom drops dead out of nowhere. So these instances, these events that happened in my life definitely helped me with where I am right now, how I'm coping and how I'm raising my family. And it's like I said, adversity, it's not if, it's when. And doing the work now, working on your mindset, can help you when you hit those walls, or when something devastated or any tragedy that happens to your life. So for any of those that's listening and you're on your fence about working on your mindset, please do. It is a game changer, and you would see yourself differently. You'll feel differently, and you'll be proud that you actually invested in working on your mindset.
Thank you, G. That means a lot that you share the story about your mom and honoring your mom's legacy because you're honoring her. You're doing it.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right.
Thank Coach AB.
Coach G, thank you so much.
Absolutely.